Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here with Pastor Adam.
Hey, everybody.
Hello. And we are back again for our brand new series called Any Questions? Episode 206.
You did it right. You did it right. So we're letting people ask us all kinds of questions, and we're just trying to answer as many as we can. That's the premise of the series. And Stephanie's husband, Jonathan, who's our producer in the background, he came up with a title. And so it's like a double title. It's like what you said a minute ago. Any questions? Does anybody have any questions? And then also, at the same time, it's like, any questions? We'll answer any questions. Any questions?
I was wanting him to say that part.
I don't even know if that makes sense, but that's what we titled it. So, but basically, do you have any questions? We'll answer them. And we'll answer any questions.
We're like at a fair, like on Little Rascals, where they have signs like, this is like, any questions?
Yeah, that's true. I love the Little Rascals.
Me too.
I love the Little Rascals. Anyway, yes, that's the plan. So last week we kicked it off 205. We had a little bit of a break before we got to this one because we were just wore out. So 205, we answered one about denominations, why denominations exist.
Which is great.
It's a random question. And this one's a little more personal. So today's question is from who, Steph?
Taylor Berger.
Taylor Berger, thank you for your question. And Taylor's question is a little more personal. So it's not like the last question was more like I'd throw it in the church history category, right? This one's a little bit personal. Not too bad. So we went ahead and included the name. But
right.
It's not too bad. I think it's worded just
That's
perfectly.
It's a good question for anybody.
And I think lots of people will need this answer.
A lot of people.
Right. This one's a little tougher to answer because it just depends on the situations and stuff. But I think we got it. All right. So, Steph, what's the question for today?
The question is, once you're honest to your spouse, what steps should be taken to move forward?
All right. Once you're honest with your spouse, what steps should you take to move forward? All right. So there's a lot here that we don't know.
Yeah.
But when you hear this implied, once you're honest with your staff, that could be that too. Once you're honest with your spouse. All right. Just the fact that that's there means there's been something going on, some sort of hidden sin, some sort of holding back how you feel or holding back what you've done. Right. It doesn't necessarily mean to be a sin. It could be you're being honest with your feelings. Right. Or something. You know what I mean? But it's implying that there's been something that's maybe been done wrong to the person, to the spouse, or maybe it could just be you've been honest about the fact that you've been depressed for a long time or the fact that, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what it is, but there's something there that's being confessed is what you basically get. Somebody's coming clean, confessing something to their spouse. So this is sort of clearing the air, which is a great first step. It should always begin like this, right? Because when we're talking about spouse and marriage, because he referred to spouse, so let's go with spouse.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about spouse, that means that we're talking about married people. And when you're married, you are one. So there should be nothing hidden, right? So we should be sharing deepest, darkest problems, issues, things we're scared of, fears, worries, concerns, dreams, hopes, right? Struggles, all that stuff should be out and together with the person, right? There should be nothing in the dark.
Yep.
Right? The danger is, and I've walked through this, I've done this wrong. The danger is when you keep something hidden, when it's in the dark, it will grow, right? The best thing you can do is bring it into the light. And Jesus is the light, right? So you got to bring everything into the light. And when in a relationship, when everything's in the light, you can work through it. And so the fact that you're saying coming honest is a really good thing because that means that, you know, you're bringing everything into the light. Valerie Cook has said to me before, because I've had some stuff that I had hidden from her that I had to share, you know, and come to light. She has said to me before, and I think this is genius advice, is that we can deal with anything if we know what we're dealing with.
Oh, that's right? Good.
We can deal with anything if we know what we're dealing with. If everything's out, then we can deal with it. But we cannot deal with stuff we don't know, right? If we don't know something exists, if we don't know there's a problem, if we don't know there's a worry or a fear or a sin or whatever, if we don't know it's there, then we can't deal with it. But if we know what we're dealing with, we can deal with anything. In other words, if we bring it into the light, then we can deal with it, right? And so I think obviously that's the first step here. Something has happened, and so there's been honesty. There's been a confession of some sort, and that is a great first step. It has to start there. And once that confession happens, this is where we get to the question, what steps should we take to move forward, right? So I'm going to imply, I'm going to say right now, I'm going to infer that there's been something that the person has done that they are confessing, and then they're talking about how do we move forward as a couple, right? How do we move forward in a relationship? So let's just say if there's been something hidden and it has to be and has to come out, that means there's probably going to be some trust that's broken, mm-hmm. right? And so the steps of moving forward are usually based on repairing that trust, right? How do you repair that trust? And the only way you really repair that trust is all these steps have to be rooted in continuing to keep everything in the light, right? Continuing to keep everything above board.
Yeah.
Because the person that you maybe have betrayed their trust in some way, it's going to take some time before they fully trust you again, right? And that should be allowed and expected. You shouldn't expect the person to immediately, well, I said I was sorry, I confessed to this, you should move on and never bring it up again. That's not what true healing looks like,
right?
That person is going to have to rebuild, you're going to rebuild trust with that person over time, and they're going to have to continually forgive you too, right? Like, forgiveness is not a one-off thing. If it was a one-off thing, then I don't know if think Jesus would have said, how many times do I forgive? 7 times 7. Or, so Jesus could be meaning 7 times 7. He could be meaning 77. What I think he's implying is infinity. That's why he uses the 7 by 7 number. In other words, that gives you the indication that forgiveness is something that you got to do repeatedly over and over and over again, right? So as the feelings come up or the worries come up or the hurt comes up, you got to be able to like, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to forgive, right? So the process of somebody, of you moving forward in this marriage and relationship and rebuilding trust is going to take some time, right? And the person who has betrayed the trust has to be very patient with the person who needs to rebuild trust, right? That to be patient and help them over time to see that you have repented, not just said, I'm sorry, that you're not doing those things anymore. You're trying your best and you're keeping this all in the light, that there's nothing hidden. I'm gonna give you an example. I'll just share my crap, right? I'll just share my garbage. Okay. And I've preached on this many times. When Valerie and I first got married, I wasn't going to be a pastor. I was going to be a doctor. And about 6 months into our marriage, our whole life changed when God called me into the ministry. Everything changed. If you go back and listen to the first 4 episodes of our podcast here, of Messy Walk Podcast, you'll hear that story. It's a long, long story. Everything changed. And so 6 months into our marriage, I'm now in ministry. And I am naturally sort of a workaholic personality. And I don't have good boundaries. I'm working on it. I have better ones now, but I don't have good boundaries on it. So I would just, when I would throw myself into something, I'd throw myself in all the way. And so for the first few years of ministry and marriage, I was working all the time, right? All the time. Now we didn't have kids yet. And Valerie had, you know, she was working and stuff. And so some of it was okay. Some of it wasn't. I had more margin in my schedule to work more, but I was just working all the time. And when I went to the first church I was at, I was at a school first. When I went to the first church I was at, I was working all the time, and there was just a lot of stress, a massive amount of stress. I'm a young pastor. I have no idea what I'm doing. There's this fighting and arguing in the church all the time about everything, right? Sitting in meetings till late at night where we're fighting over what color the carpet's going to be and just trivial junk, just church drama. Right. And every church has church drama because there's people in church. Right. Mm-hmm. If there's people in the church and the church is the people, there's going to be drama. And there was just a lot of that going on. And I was just stressed. And so Valerie and I have been together since we were teenagers. Right. And so the way we handled our money is, of course, it's all joint, which it needs to be, by the way. Another reason why everything needs to be in the light. Mm-hmm. None of your stuff should be separate. You're married. Right.
Yeah.
So our stuff wasn't separate. And, you know, all together. And what we would do is we would trade back and forth on who was going to pay the bills. See, back then you didn't go to a website and pay your bills. You didn't have no online bill pay, right? You had to like sit down and write checks and mail them out. And so we just switched back and forth. We just flip-flopped. So Valerie would do the bills for 6 months, and she'd be like, hey, I'm tired of this. You do the bills. And then I would do them, and I'd hand them back, and I'd say, I'm tired of it. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. Right, here, you do it. Your turn. And it was my turn, and I was working 90 hours a week, 100 hours a week, all the stress with the church and fighting. I wasn't handling it good. I was not in a good place. I didn't know what I was doing. You know what I mean? And it was just really getting me. And I was the one paying the bills. And one month I remember going, oh, crap, I forgot to pay the bills last month, right? I just totally forgot. So I scrambled and paid all the bills. And they were late, you know what I mean? And the next month comes around, and I did it again. And instead of asking for help, instead of going to my wife and saying, honey, I'm struggling, I need your help, I messed up, I paid the bills late, I just didn't say anything. And then it went on for a couple of months. And one day, we're at the house, and Valerie gets a little postcard in the mail. Back then, when you bounced a check, you got a thing in the mail. You didn't get no text alert, right? It didn't exist. You didn't get an email. You got a thing in the mail that said you overdrafted. And she gets this thing in the mail. And I remember this like it was yesterday. She calls me. We might have been in person. I think we might have been in person. And she says, what's this? What happened? What's going on? And I remember that moment distinctly. It was like I had two choices clearly in front of me. I could tell the truth and share with my life partner that I'm struggling and that I messed up and I didn't even really mean to. I wasn't even thinking about it. Or I could lie so she wouldn't know that I was struggling and that I messed up. And I picked the lie. I remember this decision like it was yesterday. And I picked the lie. And I said, oh, I don't know what that is. I'll find out. Right? And so I'm the one paying bills. So she hands it to me. She trusts me, right? So she trusts what I'm saying, that I'm not lying. And then I immediately realize that, oh, my God, I just lied to her about this. And what am I going to do? And so I just kept going. And everything got more behind. And the next time that one of those little postcards showed up in the mail and she asked me, what's this that happened again? I lied again because I already lied the first time. Right. So then I lied again. And then that turned into me making up stories. So then it turned into me saying, oh, yeah, I know about that one. I talked to Becky at the bank and she's going to fix it. And Becky didn't even exist. She wasn't even a real person. You know what I mean? It just turned into a lie. And you know what I mean? And I wasn't doing anything that I wasn't supposed to be doing with the money or. You know what I mean? Like, there was no hidden anything behind
just
that.
Late.
I was just late and behind and so.
You were overwhelmed.
So overwhelmed. Yeah. I mean, it just a dark period. And it was all this tension at church. It was just rough. But it spiraled, lie after lie after lie after lie. And it went on for a long time. And so every time she said to me, hey, give me the bills back and let me do it, I'd come up with some excuse. Like, oh, I got all that stuff in my office. I'll give it to you later. Oh, no, I don't want you to worry about that. I'll do it, right? And then Valerie gets pregnant. And we had multiple miscarriages. And so more stress, you know what I mean? And I just kept doing it. And it just further behind. It was just a mess. But I didn't say anything. More lies come out of all that, right? Because at some point, you know, some other question comes up or some other thing comes up and you just have to tell another lie to cover the lie you told before and you can't keep track of them. You know what I mean? It's just the way it went. And then she was about 7 months pregnant or so with Olivia. And I had to leave that church I was at with all that craziness and it ended up being a good thing that I left. But the process of leaving was really hard and there was a lot of stuff that went down with all that. It was just more stress. And Valerie was about 7 months pregnant with Olivia, and she figured it all out. And it destroyed her. One, it made her worry, what else am I doing?
Yeah.
Right, that she doesn't know about, right? What's the real root cause of all this? Is there somebody else? Is he doing, you know what I mean? Like all these things, right? What else is he hiding? And then, you know, as we process through that, then it was, why would you lie to me about anything, period? But why would you lie to me about something that's not even that important, right? It's not even that big deal, you know? Why wouldn't you ask for help? Why would you just hide all this? Why would it go on for so long? You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't about the money or those kind of things. That was something that was easily fixed. It was, you know, I had broken her trust, right? When you've been with somebody since you were 13, 14 years old, you know, and you're married and you trust, and then all of a sudden this person's been lying to you, you know, about nothing. I broke her trust. It was rough. She should have left me. You know, she should have, but she didn't. Valerie showed me, Valerie Cook has shown me what real grace and forgiveness looks like.
Wow.
In person. Yeah. She has shown me the personified forgiveness of God, right? As my spouse, as my wife. And she forgave me and we worked through it. But part of working through that was years worth of her all of a sudden having a feeling, you know, or seeing something that didn't add up and going, oh my God, can I trust you? And her asking me about it. And so the way that I'm going a long ways around about telling a personal story to answer this question, but the way that we rebuilt it, the way these steps looked going forward was everything came out, we made a plan, and then the plan involved what was I going to do to heal this brokenness in me that decided for me to lie all the time, right? And so I was going to seek counseling, which I did for a long time. I was going to talk to my doctor about the depression and those kind of things. She and I were going to rebuild trust, and part of that was everything's got to be in the open, and she has the right to ask me at any time about anything, and I tell the truth. And also, she has the right to like just to check me, to be like, is there anything going on? Is there anything you need to tell me, right? And part of that is I would take little steps. Like, for example, I wrote the word truth with a Sharpie in my wallet just so I'd see it every time I opened my wallet. And that was, you know, this was 20 years ago, right? Every wallet I've gotten for the last 20 years, I write truth in it with a Sharpie. The one in my pocket right now has truth written in it. Because I don't ever want to go back to a person who decides to lie about something trivial, right? That doesn't make any sense. But part of that was that she can check in with me anytime. So right now, so we had this happen. So this has happened 20 years ago, right? This is what I'm talking about, like long term of building trust back. Mm-hmm. That the person who has done this, whatever it is, has to be long suffering and patient with the person who's trying to rebuild trust with you. And that may take a long time. And sometimes that stuff just comes up. Where she gets fearful or worried that there's something that I'm not being truthful about. And so like a year ago, we get this thing in the mail that's a scam. It's a phishing scam that says we owe this money to this place, right? Totally fake.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist. 20 years ago, this happened now. And when Valerie sees that note in the mail, it triggers her.
Yeah. Right?
It's a trigger. And she immediately goes, Adam, is this real? Is there something you hadn't told me? She's worried. She's fearful. And I can't at that point get mad at her.
Right.
Right. You don't be defensive and all of a sudden be like, that's one of the steps here. You cannot be defensive. I can't be like, why would you ask me that? How could you ask me? How could you not trust me after all these years? You know what I mean? Like, why do you keep bringing my past up? You know, that kind of crap.
Yeah, people do that.
Right. I had to be like, I literally would go, no, honey, I have no idea what that is. We can figure it out together. I don't think this is real. I think it's a scam. But, and you know, let's figure it out together.
That's the key word right there. Figure it out together instead of you doing it on your own.
Figure it out together. And yep. Nothing's hidden.
That's good.
Right? There can be absolutely nothing hidden. I cannot tell you how many times I have sat with couples, premarital counseling, marital problems after their marriage or whatever, and said, everything has to be in the light all the time. And we have to do it all together. Right?
Yeah.
It's none of this, hand that to me and I'll go figure it out. Right? There's no hidden bank accounts. There's no password. Somebody ain't got the password to the phone. You know what I mean? Like all that kind of crap. Everything is done. And like you said, the key word is we figure this out together.
Yep.
The biggest part of repairing and these steps going forward, there's multiple steps here. Counseling always is a good step, right? Talking to doctors and making sure your health is in good shape and mental health is there is always a good step. Counseling together is a good step. Consistently deciding what those steps are that you're going to personally work on. But the key is to all of this healing that has to happen here to move forward. The key is that there has to be trust rebuilt and we are in this thing together, right? If we're hurt, if we're worried, if we're sad, if we're questioning, if we all of a sudden remember what happened years and years ago and we get a little angry, that person doesn't get defensive back. We work through that anger together. That's happened. 10 years after all this crap happened, one day Valerie said, you know, I've been thinking about you lying about that, and it just hurts me so bad. It still hurts me now, and I'm mad about it still, and I just got mad today. And I can't decide to go, well, that's ridiculous. You shouldn't bring that up. That was 10 years ago. You should let that go, right? We have to work through her anger, whether it's righteous in that moment or not. We have to work through her anger together, right?
That's right.
And so we sat down and we went, I said, baby, I'm sorry that I did that to you. And I understand that, you know, every now and then it pops up and it hurts your feelings, right? And it makes you mad. You know, and it's just been, like you just said, Steph, the key is we work through this together, whatever those steps look like. We do not expect this stuff to fly away immediately just because we apologize, right? Let me tell you this about repentance. I think we may have said this on the podcast before, but it's worth saying again. Repentance is different than being sorry. Repentance is different than I'm sorry this happened, or I'm sorry I got caught, or I'm sorry I hurt you. Repentance is I am walking away from what I did before. I'm walking to Jesus, and I'm walking away from that, right? That's not me anymore. I'm not doing that anymore. And the process of repentance is a big deal because you're walking away from it. But the other person, other people don't know if you're repentant for a long time, right? Like, you know whether or not you are repentant or just sorry. You know what I mean? Like, you know whether you're, like, if you did something to Jonathan and you said, I'm sorry that I did this to you. You know whether you're sorry that you did it and that's all it is, or whether you're going, no, I'm changing. I'm repentant. I'm not going to be that no more. You know that. But the other person doesn't know it for a long time because it's seen in the actions of this. Is this person actively walking away from that, right? And the other person sees repentance after a long time. So it may take 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years for that person to see that you are not that person anymore. You're walking in a different direction. You're walking a path of repentance. And they see it over the period of time, right? It's a long-suffering game, right? We're doing this over a period of time. We're doing that together, mm-hmm. right? We're going to hurt together. We're going to fail together. We're going to heal together. And when little stuff comes up, when this stuff bubbles up, whether it's the enemy bringing it up, trying to cause division, or whether it's just we remember stuff from the past that hurts us, right? And we just remember it. And that person then, you know, they're building trust with you back for a long time, but stuff's going to come up. You can't be defensive. We're going to work through that together. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
So, I can't give you a bunch of specific steps without knowing what exactly happened. But I'm just telling you, they're all based in repentance, full honesty, complete transparency, everything into the light, right? Everything into the light. No darkness is allowed. No shadows are allowed, right? So that the enemy doesn't have any ground to work. Everything's out. Everybody knows everything. And then when hurt or stuff comes up, when healing comes up, when all those stuff come up going forward, we are in this together, right? Nobody's defensive. You know, Valerie Cook could call me right now on this phone, right now, and say, hey, are you sure you paid that bill? Do I need to worry about this? Or, hey, this seems weird. I'm telling you right now what I'm going to say. Honey, I ain't done anything wrong. We've done it all together. Here, let's look at it together, right? Not, oh, I'll take care and figure that out, right? Because that's what I did in the past. You know, oh, I'll take that. Let me get it. Instead, it's let's look at it together. Let's figure it out together. You know, and that is one of my biggest regrets and failures in life is lying to my bride who loves me more than anybody in this world ever could. Even, I mean, more than my mama, right? Because my mama didn't pick me, right? My wife picked me. You know what I mean? She loves me more than anything. To lie to her about something so stupid and minimal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I hurt her, so I'm willing to do whatever it takes for as long as it takes and, you know, to not be that person, right? And so, mm-hmm. and that's what real repentance looks like.
That's right.
Right. That's what real repentance looks like. I'm not, that's not who I am. I am turning away from that. I am walking to Jesus and walking to the light away from the darkness. And I'm going to keep marching there forever. And I'm going to show that to the people that I hurt or the people that love me or the people that are walking through this with me. I'm going to show them over time that that's not who I am. Right. Anyway, long story to answer. I don't even know if I answered the question, but
you did. You did.
The key here, though, the best thing I heard in this, though, is that you said once you're honest, it has to start with everything coming to the light. And then once it does, it's a long process, long-suffering process of rebuilding trust. And the best way you do that is together. All these steps are together. Nobody's going off and doing the five steps that they need to do to work on themselves completely separate from their spouse. It's all together.
That's right.
One of the best marriage advice I can give you is keep everything in the light. Everything.
No matter how small it seems.
No hidden nothing.
Yeah.
No hidden nothing. If you on the way home and y'all done made a decision that you're trying to save some money and we're going to stopping and getting food, right? You know what I mean? Because food will tear your budget up. And you snuck and got some French fries on the way home, you need to bring it to the light. Right?
That's a good example. You know what I mean? That's like, a very easy one for people to do.
Don't hide nothing.
Right.
Don't hide nothing. When you go to when you go shopping or you go here and you spend $112.15 and you get home and they ask you how much you spent and you say, oh, about $100. Nope. Give it all.
Specific.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, serious.
Here's the receipt.
I'm being serious. Like, everything's in the light. And that's also, you know, that's also with stuff like how you're feeling, right? Like, you know, whether it's if you're struggling or if you've got dreams, all that stuff needs to be shared, right? If you've got expectations, right? If you've got an expectation of your spouse and you feel like they're not meeting it, well, have those expectations been shared? Right? Do they even know that you expect something, right? Or you know what I mean? Like all that stuff's got to be out. The ugly side of you and the beautiful side of you, all of it's got to be shared, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything you can do. And if you want to be a person who's truly authentic, you start with the stuff that's easy, right? Because it's harder to share your deepest, darkest worries and fears. It's easier to share, though, my bank accounts, my passwords to my phone, my schedule and calendar, right? Who I'm texting and talking to, you know what I mean? Like what I'm watching on television, what I'm listening to. Like it's easier to share those things. None of that should be hidden whatsoever. There should not be any sort of account of any sort, password that the other person does not know. And that can't just be money. It can be anything, right? They got to have it all. Everything's in the light.
Everything. That's right.
Everything. And your entire past should be shared with your spouse.
Yep.
Right? They should know everybody and everything that you've been through or done, right? Or that was done to you.
Agreed.
Your spouse needs to know those things, right? And then it's a fight your whole marriage, your whole life, to continue to keep all that stuff in front of them and be authentic and real. You know what I mean? That's the key. That is the key. If everything's up, like Valerie Cook said, we can deal with anything if we know what we're dealing with.
That's so good.
If we don't know what we're dealing with, how can we deal with it? You know? And that's the key. So, Taylor, I hope this answers your question. I think, obviously, you guys have gone through some struggles or going through them right now. So I would suggest that you also share with your spouse that you asked this question. And share this answer with your spouse, right? Even the fact that you're thinking about this, you should make sure that the person knows it. So anyway, that's all I got. That's a pretty heavy one.
Yeah. But I really, really appreciate you sharing that. I think people need to understand how vulnerable we need to be in our marriages and how we need to make sure things are in the light, no matter how small.
And I will tell you, Steph, that real healing looks like I'm not only honest with that about that issue that I had, I'm not only honest with my wife about that, but I'm willing to be honest with anybody about it.
That's right. Right?
That's where real healing comes from.
That's right.
That I'll share it with whoever.
Testimony.
Now, you know, you share it in appropriate settings, right? I'm not sitting down with my 7-year-old telling her this, but you know what I mean? But I have shared this with my 7-year-old. I've shared this with all my kids when they were young at the level they could understand what I was talking about. Right. But I've shared with them that daddy lied about ABC and broke mama's trust in this way, you know, because they lied about something. You know what I mean? So it was a teaching moment. But the real healing comes from when you can share whatever it is you had to confess and be honest about. When you can begin to have that as part of your testimony in general that you would share with people, that's when the real healing begins. So what I mean by that is when you can be truly authentic, not just with your spouse, but with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you got some power, right? Some real power in the spirit, I mean. You know what I mean? That you can fully be yourself, transparent and authentic with whomever, right?
That's right.
That's where you know that some real healing is taking place. I went to therapy for 2 years after this happened. I was on medication for depression for 4 years after this happened. There were lots of steps involved with this process, but the big key thing was all of this we were doing together, right? I'd come home from my therapy appointments and I would sit down and talk to my wife about every sordid detail of those therapy sessions. All right. Everything was up front. So anyway, that's all we got.
That is all we got.
That's all we got.
Well, thank you again, Taylor, for asking that question.
Yep, thank you.
And we hope that you find it helpful. But also, I pray for anyone else that's listening.
Yeah. And you're not alone in this, Taylor. Like, this is every single relationship. It's not even every single marriage.
Right.
There is stuff that we always are going to have to come clean about and be honest with and rebuild trust and move forward. In any human relationship, these things happen. So, you know, you're not alone in this. And I'm glad you asked the question because there's a bunch of people listening who need this too, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And I need it too. So thank you for asking the question. Anyway, all right, we'll be back next week with another one then.
Yes. So we'll talk to you soon.
All right, see you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.